Let us agree in prayer. Let us agree in prayer. Let's go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we will just continue along the lines we started in the month of November. And the general topic we are looking at is generosity. We've been dealing with tithing particularly in the last 2-3 weeks. You know, let's say 2 weeks, yeah, let's say 3 services right now. Yeah, so we've laid lots of fundamental or foundational teachings that would help us have a proper grasp of Malachi. Yeah, we know how to quote it, you know, bring the tithes into the storehouse and we'll be food and I'll rebuke Devorah and I'll open the windows of heaven. You know, we know how to quote all of that, but you know, the scriptures are not given for quoting. You know, if you have the Bibles, you know, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. Let's see something interesting in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. You know, one of the most controversial topics in the Christian faith is the topic of tithing. And we said that we have a couple of school of thought. Some say it has been abolished with the Old Testament practice. Some say it is not a New Testament practice. Some say it started before the Old Testament. You know, what have you? But we're just trying to examine God's word regarding the practice of tithing. And you know, we've been told so many things about the practice of tithing. You know, if you don't want your life to be tight, you should pay your tithe. If you are suffering, check your offering. You know, very interesting things we say. We just want to examine God's word. And we said also that, you know, in the quest of people being angry or being, having an appeal to pity for those who fall for the, you know, seed sowing scam and all of those things, you know, a lot of people go to the extreme. I'm going to say things like, oh, we're not supposed to give. Yeah, just gather, you know, and just, you know, don't give, just give. You know, we're not under the law again. Yeah, really. You know, there are fundamentals in scriptures. We're just trying to examine God's word regarding giving. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Yeah, we've said over and over that Jesus did not appear from the blues to just say. No, Jesus came and spake unto them is a way of Matthew writing that Jesus kept saying. How do we know Jesus kept saying? It is that in Acts chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we see evidently put forth to us that Jesus taught for about 40 days. Teaching pertaining the kingdom of God. That is figurative for his resurrection. So he taught strictly concerning the kingdom of God. And we, you know, we've looked at it over and over that after he finished teaching for 40 days, you know, Jesus woke up disciples woke up and decided to ask him a question about politics. You know, that goes as far to show us that for 40 days, Jesus did not teach about politics. Yeah, so politics, like we say, is a man-made thing. Yeah, and it's controlled by men. You know, men, and men only. Yeah, you know. So we've seen that there is a politics of heaven, which is about the resurrection of Christ that gives forgiveness of sin. You know. So we see that Matthew 28 verse 18, Jesus came and spake. It's not that Jesus came from the blues and appeared and just said no. What Matthew is saying is that the summation or the summary of Jesus's 40 days teaching is all power. That's what authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word they teach there means to make people disciples. So, dear saints, yeah, the moment you believe the gospel, you are a saint and a saint forever. However, that is the beginning of something greater in your life. Yeah, that is in the fact that God counts on you to win more souls, to bring them into God's light. Yeah, so in the quest of you bringing muscles into God's light, you must be a disciple. So you must be one who learns from a man, that learns from a man, who has learned from a man to teach another man. I'll say it better. Yeah, as a disciple that you are to be a discipler of other men. Yeah, see it again. See in verse 19. It says, go ye therefore into the world and teach. That word they teach is make people students. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's the only portion in the scripture when you have the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost in the entire Bible. Yeah, what we have is the name of the Son. Yeah, and at the mention of the name of Jesus, yeah. So we don't have at the mention of the name of the Father, the Son, no. So all those things we do with our hands on our forehead, our chest, and double shoulder, yeah, it's just one of those religious practices that has no, that have no implication. Yeah, so look at what he means by baptizing them in the name of the Father. Verse 20 tells you, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. So Jesus taught for 40 days, giving definite instructions. And Jesus now says, we are to go in that authority that he has and make people students. Now, where did Jesus teach from? The authority that Jesus had, where was it from? He got, or he had his authority from scriptures. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. So, Jesus, the authority is from scriptures. Look at Luke 24, verse 24. Yeah, if you read from verse 1, you will see that after Jesus had died, you know, and resurrected, they went to find, look for him in the tomb, but they didn't see him. Yeah, so he was conversing with people who did not know that he was the one. So, people were trying to explain Jesus to Jesus, but they did not know. Look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but Jesus they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, why did he call them fools? He was explaining the state of their hearts. Look at it, it tells you, that is, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So, it means that the prophet spoke. What did the prophet speak? Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Dear saints, hold on there. So it means that the prophet spoke, they were to believe what the prophet spoke. What did the prophet speak, even without saying? They spoke about Jesus. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? So it means that when the prophet, that includes Moses, includes Malachi, Isaiah, Ezekiel, it means that the summary of what they were teaching is what? Ought not Christ to suffer? So when you see Moses talk about tithes, your mind should go to, ought not Christ to suffer? See what Jesus did. So, you know, like we did in our previous teachings, when you see Jesus, Moses speaking about first fruits, and we saw that first fruit was what? Pointing to the resurrection of Christ and saints found in that. Yeah, so look at what Jesus did to make them on fools, yeah, to make them fast of heart, yeah. And beginning at Moses, that means beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophet, into bracket, Isaiah, Malachi, yeah, what did he do? He expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, what did Jesus do to explain that form? He opened the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, he opened from Genesis to Malachi. Look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. What are the things that will be fulfilled? Which were written in the law of Moses. Yet the law of Moses, there's the writings of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. See what happened again, verse 45. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. Yeah, that word there, open, is the word that is used to open something for the very first time. Yeah, so then open ye. So imagine you have a bottle of water, yeah, that is from the carton. When you pick it and you open it, you can drink a part of it and cork it back. Yeah, if you go and play soccer or play football and come back to it, it means that you are going to open that bottle again. But guess what? Yeah, the seal that held the cap to the bottle the first time is not there again. So you've opened it for the first time. The second time, the third, the fourth time when you open it, it's not going to be as stressful as the first time. Yeah, so he opened for the very first time their understanding. That word they understand is the word that means mindset. So he opened for the very first time their mindset, that they might understand the scriptures. Yeah, the second word there, understand, means to synchronize or to put bits and portions together. Yeah, imagine you want to cook spaghetti. Yeah, so you pick a strand from your spaghetti pack and put this in water and be boiling. No, you will not look good. Yeah, so what makes spaghetti spaghetti? Spaghetti bolognese. Yeah, you know what makes it spaghetti is when you combine those strands together and make a meal. So Jesus picked Genesis as a strand, picked Exodus as a strand, and picked Ezekiel up onto Malachi, and cooked it together, and presented a meal to them. What is the meal? Ought not Christ to have suffered? Look at it again. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, thus it is written. You see the same thing? It is written. Where is it written from? It tells you in verse 44, the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. What were they writing about? Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance, remission, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. So when you see Moses talking about God said, let there be light, is okay. If I hope your thoughts there, go to John 5. Go to John 5. In fact, go to John chapter 1 first. Go to John chapter 1, verse 45. Look at John 1:45. Look at John 1:45. Remember, we're reading Luke. Yeah. Look at John 1, verse 45. Quickly. She said something very interesting. John 1:45. He says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law. Now, what did Luke 24:44 tell you? The law of Moses. Yeah, so of whom Moses in the law and the prophets, can you see, Ezekiel, Malachi, Obadiah, Isaiah, and the prophets did write. Who is the person? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Hallelujah. So, see chapter 5, verse 39. Look at chapter 5, verse 39. The same book of John. John 5:39. It says, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. What is that? What does that mean? Jesus is saying, I'm the testimony of scriptures. What is Jesus saying? I am the person that ought to suffer and enter into glory. Yeah, I'm the person who Moses wrote about. I'm the person who Malachi wrote about. I'm the person who Isaiah wrote about. Yeah, and you will not come to me that you may have life. Look at verse 46. See verse 46 quickly. It says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Look at it again. If you believe Moses, you will believe me because Moses wrote of me. Let me say it again. If you read the writings of Moses and you believe Moses, in the real sense, you should believe Jesus, because the writings of Moses you claim to believe is about Christ. So it means that Moses in his writing did not come out straight to say Christ will die and enter into his glory. No, you will not see that anywhere between Genesis to Malachi. So Moses found a way to teach the people to practice what he wanted them to believe. I'll say it again. See John 1. Look at John 1:17. So Moses gave the law, right? Yes. Look at John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yeah. So was the law given by God? Nope. It was given by Moses. For the law was offered by Moses. Yeah. It didn't say the law was given to Moses to give them. Why did Moses give the law? Exodus chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32 verse 20, Exodus 32 verse 9. Because of the hardness of their hearts, they were stiff-necked people, and they were people who had no faith. So it means that Moses wrote the way he wrote because of the condition of his members. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah, he wrote the way he wrote because of the condition of his member. Yeah, so the same Moses, what you see in his writing, you see that Moses saw God. He tells you in verse 18, John tells you in verse 18, no man had seen God at any time. That no man had seen God at any time includes Moses, includes Adam. Are we together? Yeah, look at it again. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So Jesus is the one that gives expression to who God is to mankind. Yeah, I know you have questions in your mind, right? Yeah, so when he says no man, man there includes Adam. Man there includes Abraham. Man there includes Isaac. Man there includes Jacob. And man there includes Moses. So it means that every portion of the scriptures where you see or you think that man saw or spoke with God face to face, you check it again. Except so, is it that you change that portion of the scripture or you change John 1:18? No one had seen God at any time. Yeah, God who dwells in... hold your hands there. Go to Colossians there. Go to Colossians quickly. Look at Colossians 1 quickly. Verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Look at Colossians 1:14. In whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even that is the forgiveness of sins. Look at it. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. So Christ is the one that brings a reflection, or Christ is the one that represents God to mankind. Let me say better. Yeah, Christ is the one who, when man sees, he says he has seen God. Are we together? So we see how Christ explains. So remember, we said something. Moses knew about Christ. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Yeah, Hebrews 11:24-27. So Moses knew about Christ, but because of the hardness of the heart of the people, Moses used a lot of figures or speech to communicate the truth about Christ. So what are we to do as saints? 2 Timothy 2:15. Run there quickly. I'll just quote it before you get there. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study.
Why is Paul telling Timothy to study? Where is he to study? He is to study scriptures. So it means that the saint must have a disposition of studying Genesis to Malachi. Study to show. That word there, study, means to be diligent. Yeah, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God. A workman, that is a toiler, a laborer, that need not to be ashamed. Dear saint, never be ashamed of your profession of labor. You see, when you were in class, yeah, those who knew or read their books after every class and went to the library were the ones easily answering questions in subsequent classes. Yeah, we don't say they are proud. Yeah, rather, what do? We combine ourselves, choose a time, and pick them to come and teach us. Yeah, so they are the ones that labor, then they come and teach us ahead of exam, what you call tutorial. Yeah, so it's only in the Christian faith where you see people want to shut people who know because they don't know. Yeah, so because of your ignorance, you rather guard your ignorance with a very high fence, and you begin to allow jealousy and pride to come in. I'm going to say that, oh, those guys that they do as if they know it all. See, if you have an attitude of study to show thyself, people can mistake you to think that you claim you know it all. It's the same thing in chemistry, in biology, in physics. So Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed of that profession, rightly dividing. Yeah, that word there, rightly dividing, is a single Greek word in the Greek manuscript, and it means to carefully handle. A word usually used for miners who do sophisticated mining. Are we together? So the saint is to sophisticatedly, I don't know if that's right, yeah, but the saint is to have an attitude of sophistication while visiting the Old Testament books. It tells you in chapter 3, look at 2 Timothy 3. Look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. It tells you there. Look at it. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Yeah, from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So there's a wisdom of holy scriptures. What is the wisdom about? Wise unto salvation, skillful concerning salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So a good way to know you've read Genesis well is when you read Genesis and see salvation, God's saving power, God's plan of redemption. So it means that in reading first fruits, you should see salvation plan. Hey, glory to God. In reading the tithe, you should see salvation plan. Look what that tells you in verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. So scriptures are God-breathed. So God inspired scriptures to be written. Look at what it tells you. It says, and they are profitable, that is advantageous. That word there, profitable, is the word advantageous for doctrine. That word there, doctrine, is the word that means teaching. Yeah, so for the advantage of scriptures is to make you wise regarding salvation. So how do you know about God? God gave us 66 books to make us know him. Yeah, that means God wants to be known. Yeah, God wants to be known. Yeah, so you only have mysteries about God when you try to view God outside the image of God. Who is the image of God? Christ. Who is the Colossians 1:15? Who is the image of the invisible God? So all scriptures, yeah, at the time it will be Genesis to Malachi, they are given by inspiration. They are advantageous for teaching, for reproof, yeah, for correction, to rectify, and for instruction in righteousness. Are we together? Yeah, if you have a good Bible, you will see that there is nothing like quoting. So in as much as we quote scriptures, scriptures are not for that. That is why we see a lot of us quote scriptures out of context. Yeah, an average Christian who has been in the, let's say an average Nigerian Christian who grew up in a Nigerian home has also, or they've quoted Malachi to him severally. You know, it's interesting to know that most of us don't know any other verse in the book of Malachi. So, what are we doing here today? We are trying to examine what was the tithe teaching about. Yeah, so remember we said something fundamentally in our previous four teachings. We said something, and we said that from Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy 14. Now, if you don't know, yeah, you should know. Yeah, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Moses did. So, what did Jesus say about Moses' writing? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So, look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. Look at what Moses says. It says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. Yeah, the saints, yeah, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, of thy flocks. Now, what is the reason? That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Are we together? Yeah. What was the reason for the tithe? Remember, the first mention of the word tithe was in Genesis chapter 14 by Abraham. Abraham did not give tithe to be wealthy. Nobody gets rich by giving tithes. Nobody gets wealthy by giving tithe. Anybody that tells you that I got wealthy because I was consistent with my tithe, that's a delusive teaching. Yeah. You know, really. So look at it. Yeah. So Abraham did not give tithe to be wealthy. Yeah. Abraham was wealthy, took 318 servants he was feeding to go and fight a war. And he took the possession of those people. And he met Melchizedek, who ministered to him in reference to forgiveness of sins. And he gave him a tithe. Yeah, we've explicitly taught that in our last previous teaching, our previous teachings. So, Abraham gave a tithe. Who did he give tithe to? He gave it to Melchizedek. What was it? Why was he giving it? To honor God. So, he gave his tithe to honor God, but to man. So, you honor God by honoring men. So you give to God by giving to men. So tithe never and would never have wings to fly to any other realm or dimension, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, tithe always are on earth. They stay with men, given by men for men. Look at it again. So that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. So Abraham gave to God in honor to God, but really to man. In the real sense, Moses, now we said something. The tithe did not start under the law. The tithe preceded Moses. Moses was born in Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3. Yeah, tithe started in Genesis. If you are a Bible scholar, you should know that Genesis is before Exodus. So tithe started in Genesis. The law was not given up until Exodus forward. So the tithe did not start under the law. It preceded the law, but it was sustained under the law. What was the reason? Yeah, for there to be food in the house, right? Yeah, so the tithe from Genesis was not required. God, there's no portion of scripture that says, Abraham, now you know I'm the one that made you win that battle. Give me 10%, 10, 10, 10. That's all I asked for. So I'll protect you, me 90. No. So God did not ask for the tithe. Abraham honored God. The only way that mankind could see that Abraham honored God, because man is not spirit or man cannot know the heart of Abraham, is by seeing the physical manifestation of Abraham's heart. So how will man see the slant of your heart? By the way you give or by the things you do. Yeah, that's why James will tell you faith without works is dead. He's not saying if you have faith and you don't read for exam, you will fail. No. That's not what he's teaching about. Yeah, faith without works really means that if you say you have faith in our Lord and Savior, there is no how you will not give sacrificially in the way or having seen the example of him giving sacrificially. Yeah, that's what James was in James 2. Yeah, we'll look at that maybe today. So, Abraham gave in honor. So, in the law, when Moses established it, clearly the reason was so to honor God and to reference him also. Oh, look at it again. Yeah, verse 23 of Deuteronomy 14. That thou mayest learn to honor the Lord thy God always. So, the reason for the tithe was to honor God. Who were the people to eat the tithe? We saw in our previous teaching. The strangers, the Levites, the fatherless, the widows. Those who have no inheritance. Yeah, so let's look at something. So remember, the law, John 1:17, the law was offered by Moses. Yeah, so the law was offered by Moses. Grace, that is the reality, came through Christ Jesus. So it means that when Moses wrote, we said that already, Moses wrote about Christ. So the foundation of Moses' writing is Christ and his work. Look at Malachi 3. Let's explain Malachi 3. Yeah, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Hold on there. Remember, the reason for the tithe was what? So that there could be meat in the house. Meat for who? The Levites, yeah, who were responsible for gifts and sacrifices in reference to sin, Hebrews 5:1. The strangers. Yeah, in fact, we'll go back there just shortly. Yeah, so. Remember, I said something. Never forget two things. Moses wrote about Christ. The tithe was as a response or for honor's sake. Now, go back to Malachi 3 verse 1. So, Malachi 3 verse 1. I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. See, when you see Malachi say, I will send, it's not Malachi that is sending. That's a biblical way of writing an utterance. Yeah, so when Malachi says, I will, so when you see a pastor stand in front of you and says, oh, I will do a new thing in your life, the pastor doesn't have the capability, oh, well, maybe he's wealthy. Yeah, but that new thing he's speaking about, it is in reference to what God is going to do. He is speaking on behalf. So it is called an utterance, prophecy. So when you see Malachi say, behold, I will send my messenger, it is not Malachi sending, it is an utterance through the lips of Malachi. What did Jesus do to Malachi's writing? He said, ought not Christ to have suffered and enter into his glory, beginning at Moses and Malachi, or Moses to Malachi? How are we together? So if you look at Malachi chapter 3 again, he says, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So there is the messenger that will prepare the way before me. So it means that before me and the I is equal to one person. The person saying I will and saying before me is that the I will is equal to the before me. So whoever the I will is equal to the me. Are we here? Yeah. So, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Oh, glory to God. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even that, so the Lord whom you seek that shall come to his temple, even that is the messenger of the covenant. So there is firstly a messenger that will prepare the way, and there's a messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, it shall come, saith the Lord. So the messenger of the covenant is the one who will come, saith the Lord. But there is a messenger to prepare the way ahead of the one who is to come, that is the messenger of the covenant. Are we together? Yeah, we did that on Sunday. So there were two messengers spoken about in Micah chapter 3. Who are the two messengers? Look at Acts. Look at Acts 19. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19. Acts 19 verse 4. Quickly. Acts 19 verse 4, quickly. So, there were two messengers in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Acts chapter 19 verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized. You see, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on whom which should come after him. Remember Malachi 3. There is one who goes to prepare the way, and there is the real deal. The real deal is the messenger of the covenant. The real deal is the Lord who shall enter his temple. Malachi 3:1. Paul tells you in Acts 19 verse 4. So there is a John that baptized baptism, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which is to come. So a messenger goes ahead, John the Baptist, and there is a he who is to come. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Luke. 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 Look at Luke chapter 7. Look at Luke 7. Luke 7:28. So there is a messenger that is to prepare the way, and there is a messenger that is the messenger of the covenant, who in the real sense is the Lord who shall enter his temple. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, so look at this again. Now, so look at Luke 7:28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom, yeah, of God is greater than he. So there is a messenger that comes ahead. John, so go back to Malachi 3. Look at Malachi 3. Malachi 3 verse 1. Malachi 3 verse 1. So remember, as at Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, it was a promise that was to happen. Are we together? Are we together? So, behold, I will send my messenger, who is that, into bracket, John the Baptist. So, a good way to read Malachi 3, now that we know, is, behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is the meeting? Jesus is the one that is to come. What was John the Baptist's message? Preparing the way for he that is to come. Are we together? Who is that he that is to come? He says that, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, hold your thoughts there. See something interesting. You know, before you get to Malachi chapter 3, you must have read Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. Look at Malachi 2 verse 1. Look at Malachi chapter 2 verse 1. Now, never forget, when Malachi was Malachi, his Bible will be the writings of Moses. So, Moses' writing was the foundation for what Malachi was teaching about. So, where did Moses know, or where did Malachi know about, or how did he know about that thing called tithing or as a practice? Yeah, because in the real sense, Malachi would not have been alive when Moses was alive. They didn't live in the same dispensation. So, Malachi knew about the practice of tithe by the writings of Moses. Yeah, look at Malachi 2. So, Malachi 2, Malachi tells you, and now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. Never forget. Never forget. O ye priest, this commandment is for you. Look at verse 3, chapter 3 again. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek, so the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Dear saint, hold your thoughts there. Go to Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts 7:47. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. Acts chapter 7, verse 47. Look at Acts 7, 47. Yeah, but Solomon built him an house. Look at it in verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. That's it. God doesn't live in temples made with hands. What does that mean? It means that when you use cement to raise a structure, God doesn't live there. Look, God, no, God doesn't live there. God doesn't live there. God doesn't live there. God doesn't live there. See what it says? Verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the people. So, does God dwell in temples? Yes. What temple does God dwell in? It is the temple that he makes with his own hand, not the temple that man makes with his hand. So, it means that all those holy of holies, all those structure, all those inner court, outer court, all those things, God was not dwelling there. So, what was Moses doing? Moses was using physical building to point their attention to believer. Look at John 2:19. Look at John 2:13. Look at John chapter 2, verse 13. Quickly. Look at John 2:13. Quickly. John 2:13. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up unto Jerusalem. Look at verse 14. And found in the temple. So would that temple be people of physical temple? It will be physical temple. Look, jump to verse 19. Look at verse 19. So, Jesus was in the temple, and he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Hello, hello. Where were they? Jesus was with them in the physical temple. Does God dwell in temples made with hands? No. How do you know that the temple made with hands? Look at verse 20. Then said the Jew, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. So, it took 46 years for them to raise that building. How will you now raise it in 3 days? What happened in verse 21? But he spake ye of the temple of his body. So God doesn't dwell in temples or buildings made with hands. Hands of men. The temple that God dwells in is the temple he made with his hand. What did Malachi tell you? Yeah, hold your thoughts there. Hold your thoughts there, right? Yeah. So look at, remember, from Acts chapter 7, God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So if Malachi, go back to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. Look at something. I want to say something now, right? Yeah. So look at Malachi 3:1. So he says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, that is John the Baptist. Now, and the Lord, that is God, whom ye seek, shall suddenly. Why is it going to be suddenly? Because the physical temple is 46 years to build. The suddenly temple is the 3 days to build. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, see, the temple that God lives in, it took 3 days. So upon resurrection, the temple was established. So when you see, shall suddenly come to his temple. What is the temple? The temple will be people, not the one that men make with their hands. All together. Yeah, so Jesus was in the temple and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What was he thinking about? Verse 21, he spoke of his body. So at the time, Jesus was the physical house of God on earth. Are we together? Are we together? So now, by the resurrection, we have been attached to God's temple. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2, 6. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Yeah, so by the reason of resurrection, we are now attached and we are now a holy habitation for God. Look at Ephesians 2:6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heaven in Christ. So we are now seated with Christ in heaven in Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 5. Look at 1 Peter 2, 5. Peter speaks to saints. He says, ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. Yes, yes, a spiritual house and holy priesthood. So we collectively are saints. We are a spiritual house. Who are we housing? Where God dwells. Are we together? Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So we see, first of all, we are royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Yet, so our priesthood has an atom of royalty maxed with it. Look at Revelations 1:6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. It says, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Now, remember, Malachi chapter 3. Go back there. In fact, hold your thoughts there. Go to Ephesians 2 first. Ephesians 2:22. Go back to Ephesians 2:22. Ephesians 2:22. Let me show you something there. Ephesians 2, verse 22. Look at it. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. So we collectively are saints. We are a holy temple. Look, okay, see verse 21. See verse 21. In whom all the buildings, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Yeah, can you see? Holy temple, a designated temple, a sacred temple. Yeah, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation. So we are saints that collectively we are called the body of Christ. We house God. We are a habitation for God. Are we together? Are we together? Go back to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. So Malachi 3:1. Look at Malachi 3:1. Look at Malachi 3:1. So, behold, I will send my messenger, that is John the Baptist, and shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, yes, that is Jesus, whom ye seek, that is the Lord, shall suddenly come to his temple. The suddenly coming to his temple, will he be the one made with hands, or the one he made with his hand? It has to be the one he made with his hand. Are we together? Are we together? Hold your thoughts there. Go to Hebrews 3. I know someone will say, ah, Pastor, we're holding our thoughts everywhere. Look at Hebrews 3. Look at Hebrews 3:6. Look at Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So Christ as a son over his own house. So Christ has done a work that makes anyone that believes a temple that houses God. Are we together? So, it is a work done once and for all. Look at Hebrews 10, 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, verse 14. So, there is one offering that has made us to be acknowledged as a temple of God. So, look at Hebrews 10, verse 14. He says, for by one offering, he had perfected. By one offering, he had perfected forever. Them that are sanctified. So one who is perfected by believing the offering of Christ is forever sanctified, is forever perfected. Yeah, look at verse 17. And their sin, look at verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. What does that mean? Their sins and iniquities will not be taken into account again. Now, verse 18, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Dear saints, for there to be another offering for sin, it means that Christ has to die again. The Levitical priesthood required that they did it every year. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. So there was a sacrifice they offered year by year. It could not make them perfect. But there's a sacrifice that has been offered one. Verse 14. For by one offering it makes us perfect. Are we together? Remember, we saw this in two weeks ago. I said that you don't get justified by tithing. Yes, remember, we're teaching tithing. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Look at verse 28. Look at 28. Look at 28. See who the tithe was for. Verse 28. And the end of 3 years, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase of the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. Look at verse 29. And the Levites, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the strangers, the fatherless, the widows which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. So those that have no inheritance are the ones that are to come to eat to get satisfaction. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Are we together? So the tithe was for the Levites, yeah, for those that had no inheritance, the strangers, the fatherless, the widows. Why was it done? Verse 23. Look at the last line in verse 23. That thou mayest learn to honor the Lord thy God always. So Moses thought that the tithe was to be eaten. Are we together? So Moses clearly thought that the tithe was something to be eaten. Now remember, no, Abraham did not give tithe to get wealthier. Moses did not say that, oh, this is a law. When you give your tithe, you will become wealthy. Nope, nope, nope. You can't hear it from the mouth of Moses. He didn't say that if you want to be wealthier than how you are, give your tithe. No, the reason is to honor God. But in the real sense, you are honoring God by giving to men who have no inheritance in the land. So I combine verse 23 and verse 29. Are we together? Now, so what is it to have the fear of Lord? Yeah, the fear of Lord is not saying you are afraid of God. What does it simply mean? It means to have faith or hope in his unfailing and steadfast love. Yeah, so the fear of the Lord is related security for the believer. Psalm 147, verse 11. So, look at Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, really, in those that hope in his mercy. So, who are those that fear God? Those that fear God are those that honor God, that is, those that hope in the salvation of God. So, the teaching of eating the tithe was a way of Moses communicating the truth of God's provision of salvation. So, they were to honor in the real sense, they were among those that hope in his mercy, hope to see his salvation. So, Moses found a way to make them practice what he wanted them to believe. What did Jesus say? Go back to John 5. What is John 5? Go back to John 5 quickly. John 5, John chapter 5, verse 46. John 5, 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. Are we together? Are we together? Now, never forget, the tithe was a provision for Levites, for strangers, for fatherless, for widows, those who did not have any inheritance. The tithe was for them to eat it and be satisfied. Dear saints. Now, so that will be Moses' way, remember, for teaching of the provision or teaching about the provision of salvation that God will bring through the messenger of the covenant. Hold your thoughts there. Please follow attentively. Go to Romans 5. Go to Romans 5 quickly. In fact, before you are in John 5, right? Just see John 5, 35. Look at John 5, John 5, John 5, John 5, 35. Look at John 5, 33. Say the bread of God. Yeah, so when you say the bread of God is figurative for the meal of God. Yeah. So for the meal of God is he. So the meal of God is a he who shall enter the temple suddenly. So for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. So the bread of God is a person. So in as much as you are seeing bread, which is something people eat in the physical realm, yeah, it's actually figurative for a person. So, Matthew 6, yeah, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom has come, thy will be done in heaven. What is the will? That you give us this day our daily bread. That word there, daily, is sufficient bread. Yeah, so you give us our everlasting bread. Who is the bread? Verse 33, John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So, the bread of God in verse 33 is equal to the bread of life in verse 35. The same person, he. He now says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So that bread of life actually quenches hunger and quenches thirst. See it again. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So remember, the meal they were to eat in Deuteronomy chapter 14 was for the Levites, the strangers, the widows to come together and eat. When they eat, they are to eat to be satisfied. What is that meal that we eat today and we get satisfaction? It is the meal of God. What is the meal? The bread of life, that is the bread of God. So when you see Psalm 19, Psalm 91, yeah, with long life shall you satisfy me. The long life there is because you ate the bread of life. Figurative, the same thing Moses said as tree of life. So the bread of life is equal to the bread of God, is equal to the tree of life, is equal to everlasting life given or received when you believe. All together. Look at Romans 5. Look at Romans 5 quickly. Romans 5 verse 6. Romans 5 verse 6. Romans 5 6. Romans 5 6. For when we were yet without strength, so can we say, for when we were yet without inheritance, so can we say, for when we were yet without strength, that is inheritance, that is examples of the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, the widows. Now we're together. In due time, glory to God, Christ died for the ungodly. So when you see those without inheritance, is figurative for the ungodly. So for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will yet die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet strangers, Christ died for us. In that while we were yet without inheritance, Christ died. Look at it. While we were yet sinners. So sinners are those who have not received of the inheritance in God's promised land that is flowing with milk and honey. What is that promised land? It is the land that is called the saints. So, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet without an inheritance, Christ died for us and became our inheritance. Go back to Malachi 3. Or if you find, see another one. Ephesians 2, 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this. Look at it again. Ephesians 2, verse 4. So, but God who is rich in mercy. So, can we say God who is rich in meal? Can we say God who is rich in bread? Yeah. For God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins. What does that mean? When we're without inheritance. What is inheritance? The inheritance of, if I go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. Yeah? The fatherless, the widows didn't have an inheritance. But look at this. By Christ, in Christ, verse 11, Ephesians 1, 11, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him, we work at all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his own glory, who first trusted in Christ. See what he says. What is the inheritance? In whom ye also trusted after that he heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that he believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can you see the inheritance? It tells you, in case you don't see it, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Are we together? Yeah, so in Deuteronomy chapter 14, Moses was using the use of tithe, or Moses initiated the use of tithe as a law to explain what? Christ being the inheritance of the saints. By work of redemption, we receive the Holy Ghost. That is our inheritance. Are we together? That is what God has to give. Are we together? So, which is it? So, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So, we have an inheritance. In Acts chapter 2, when you were dead in sin, we have an inheritance. But there's a time you were dead in sin. Glory to God. So, Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in sins, that is without inheritance, Christ had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, he has saved. And he had raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenlies in Christ. What does that mean? We now have an inheritance. Go back to Malachi 3. Malachi 3:10. Look at Malachi 3:10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Remember, Moses used storehouse to teach about God's temple. Moses used physical temple made with hands to teach about a temple that God will dwell. Yeah, so Moses used a temple that God does not dwell in to teach about a temple God will make and dwell in. So Moses used a temple made with the hands of men to teach about a temple God will make with his own hand. Yeah, so look at Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that they may be meat in my house. Remember Malachi 2 verse 1. So, Malachi 2 verse 1. Now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So, the commandment was for the priests. Are we together? Hold on. Yeah? Hold on. So, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinances. Hold on. This is an utterance by Malachi. Who is he speaking about? Chapter 2, verse 1. Now this commandment or utterance is for you, O ye priests. So what is Malachi saying to the priest? Verse 7. From the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. What is the ordinance? The ordinance would have been the ordinance of Moses teaching about the tithe to be eaten by those without inheritance. Look at it again. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord. But ye said, where shall I return? Look at what he says, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yeah. So how did they rob God? They robbed God by... So who are they that rob God? O ye priest, Malachi 2 verse 1. How did they rob God? They robbed God in not providing meat to be eaten as said by Moses. Moses instructed that there should be meat to be eaten to give satisfaction by the Levites, the fatherless, the widows, and they must eat to satisfaction. In the real sense, Moses was teaching about God's bread that brings satisfaction. So, the priests denied the poor, the strangers, the fatherless. The priests are started denying them the privilege of eating tithes. So, look at verse 8 again, Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? He now tells you, in tithe and offering. Look at verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Hold your thoughts there. So, remember, the Levitical priesthood had abandoned Moses' teaching of eating the tithe as a teaching aid for communicating God's provision of salvation. Let me say it better. Yeah, Moses used the eating of the tithe as a way to practice or to make them believe. So, he used it as a teaching aid for them to see the message of God providing salvation. A meal that gives satisfaction. Never forget, John 5. If you have believed Moses, you would have believed me. So Moses used things that to teach about the things he wanted them to believe. Moses used things that physical eyes could see to teach about what their physical eyes could not see. Remember in previous months, we explained Passover. Moses used Passover to teach about Christ and we together. So the Passover as a practice that Moses initiated has been fulfilled in Christ. So, what does robbing God mean there? So, when you say, when will a man rob God, how were they robbing God? In the fact that they were altering what Moses initiated that should ideally be used to shadow till Jesus came, or Jesus has come now. Let me say it again. Moses used the feeding or the eating of the tithes to teach about the provision of salvation that God will supply. Remember, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. The Levites, the strangers, those without inheritance, are the ones to eat and be satisfied. Are we together? Yeah, hold your thoughts. We'll see something there. Yeah? Hold your thoughts. So, it means that God wanted the needs of let me say this. Yeah, listen attentively. God wanted to meet the needs of those who did not have. How did God do it? God had to do it by men giving to men. Does God meet needs? Yes. God meets needs when men give to men. God doesn't give people money directly. No. God persuades men to give from their income or from their source of wealth or from their money to other men. In giving to other men, they might have met the needs of other men. So, men are to meet the needs of others. That is God's plan for God meeting the needs of man. Are we together? So, the plan was for men to turn from their unbelief and receive the inheritance of forgiveness of sin. What did Moses use it for? What did Moses do? He used the practice that Abraham started before he was born and made it a law. So, the land flowing with milk and honey that we saw in our previous teaching, it will be figurative for what? The land with the inheritance. That's what? The city of God. Hebrews 11:9. Abraham looked forward to a city whose maker and builder is God. So when you see the land flowing with milk and honey, he's not saying Aston Villa. It's not contract. No. If I go to Isaiah 1, Isaiah chapter 1. We've always read this over and over. Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Look at verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. You see that? Learn to do well. Seek the oppressed. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Is that not similar to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 19? When Isaiah was Isaiah, what was his Bible? Genesis to Deuteronomy. So, Isaiah knew about learning to do well and made it an utterance because he has seen it in Moses. Moses initiated the law to satisfy judgment or as a means of supplying judgment to relieve the oppressed, to judge the fatherless, and to plead for the widows. So, look at it. If I were to arrange the scriptures there, I might put Isaiah after Malachi. So, when you read Malachi, where it says, bring in the tithe, you are robbing God. Yet, you now say that, okay, verse 17 of 1, learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless. Now, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So, the reasoning of God with man is in reference to forgiveness of sins. That is what God supplies upon resurrection, and that is all he supplies. Yeah, remember I said it over. Christ did not die for your wealth. It's a very delusive teaching. It's Christ died for one thing. Come now, let us reason together. Say the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Is that the same thing as what? The land flowing with milk and honey. So the good of the land is the land flowing with milk and honey. What does God put in the land? It is his inheritance. What is that? The Spirit of God. Malachi 3:10. So we're Malachi 3:10. Yeah, so bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. In the New Testament, look at from verse 1. He says, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Would that temple be the one man made with his hand, or the temple of the saints? It has to be that of the saints. Look at verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? What is that upon resurrection? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. So when you see fuller's soap, refiner's fire, what is that? Cleansing. Look at verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Never forget, Malachi 2 verse 1. O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Go back to chapter 3, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Look at Malachi 3:10. So bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Is that equal to the Lord will come? Okay, hold your thoughts there. We'll get there soon. Look at the reason why Malachi was saying that. So bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Is God's house a temple made with hands or human beings? It is human beings who believe the gospel. Acts chapter 7, verse 47 tells us, and 48, that God doesn't dwell in temple made with hands. So bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. So in the real sense, the word storehouse is the Lord shall come into his temple in verse 1. Yeah, that there may be meat in my house. What is meat? What is the meat in my house? I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never be thirsty. So the bread of life, the daily bread that supplies what? Satisfaction. The tithe was to be eaten, to give satisfaction. In this sense, Malachi 3 verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Are we together? That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Right? So, it means that this is the consequence when the Levites received correction from the messenger of the covenant. What does that mean? I'll say it again. Malachi, as an utterance, in scolding the Levites, who are the priests, is teaching about what Christ will do. Now, remember we read earlier on, we are now priests. Is that true? Yeah. So it means that if you are going to read Malachi, the book of Malachi, you read it as one who is a priest, a royal priesthood. We are now made priests and kings. Yeah. Okay. So look at Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of the Lord bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, yeah, of their joy, they abound, great affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So the churches of Macedonia gave so that they can be meet. Okay, go back to Malachi 3. So the same way, irrespective of what was available to the churches of Macedonia, they provided meat, is the same way that we provide meat. So in the real sense, provision of meat to other saints is God's way of satisfying or meeting the needs of other saints. Go back to Malachi 3. So when you see Malachi 3, yeah, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That is equal, is the same thing in verse 10. And that there might be meat in my house. What is meat? Bread of God, bread of life. What is his house? The house he makes upon resurrection. Ephesians 2 verse 22, Ephesians 2 verse 9. So God had promised to build a temple to David. The new creation is God's temple. In fact, go to Ephesians 2 9. God promised to build a temple from Abraham, Isaac. It was a promise. Yeah, but Moses found a way to use physical temple made with hands to teach about the temple God will make. Ephesians 2 verse 9. So what it says, not of your works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. Can we say we are his temple? Yes. We are his temple, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. Go back to Malachi 3. So Malachi 3 verse 10. So when he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Yeah, Malachi is my house, so that there might be food in my house. It will be in reference to what? Widows, orphans, strangers, the poor. Who are those? Those who really have no inheritance. So what were the priests doing? They were depriving them from eating of the tithe as initiated by Moses. They were depriving them of something. They were people who had no inheritance, and the priests were depriving them from eating the tithe as Moses initiated. So Malachi admits that the priest had failed to see to it that there was meat in the house. In the real sense, when you see meat in the house, your mind can go to direct house, which is the house where the offerings, the fatherless shall come. But in the real sense, Malachi is teaching about what? The house of God, which is what? You and I. Hallelujah. So the lack of supply of the tithe to be eaten, or the lack of supply of the tithe as initiated by Moses under the law, was what Malachi was trying to correct. So what would the cause be? The cause there really refer to the absence of meat in the house. Simple. It's not that hard. So what is Malachi's prophecy? Is that God himself will pour out a, look at it. God himself will pour out a blessing. Look at it. If I will not, so saith the Lord of hosts, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Yeah, for what? To pour out a blessing. So God himself will pour out a blessing. So that is God's direct action by the messenger of the covenant in verse 1. Look, see Genesis 22. So God is the one responsible for pouring out a blessing. Now, the blessing was not because they gave tithe. Malachi is teaching about, or Malachi is correcting the priest in a reduced sense, teaching about Christ. Look at Genesis 22, verse 8. He says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamp. So God will provide himself as the lamp. Yet John Baptist tells you, behold the lamp of God that takes away the sins of the world. So, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamp. Malachi. So go back Malachi 3:10. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Look at it again. So Malachi 3:10. He says, bring ye all the tithe. Yeah, he says, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, look at what will happen with that blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. What is that? Figurative expression of writing of the overwhelming goodness of God. So that there will not be room, you mean that God will pour out his goodness and mercy into the heart until the people are overwhelmed with his unfailing steadfast love. Remember Psalm 147 verse 11, that thou mayest fear God, that is in those who have hope in his salvation. So there's a priest that will bring the true tithe that is the blessing, to the storehouse. Who is the storehouse in verse 10? It will be you and I. Who is the my house in verse 10? It will be you and I. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9, we are God's workmanship. We are God's temple. Verse 22, we are a spiritual house, habitation for God. So the bringing the tithe to the storehouse will be something God will do, so man will live in the fulfillment of God's love, which Moses was using the eating of tithe to teach. So the ordinance of tithe would or could only have been fulfilled by God. Now the tithe that they were to bring as men to themselves for themselves was something that God was going to fulfill. Yeah, and the Lord shall appear in his temple suddenly. So it was a work, or it is the work of God. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 24. For I will take from among you the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. What land is that? The same land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What land is that? The land that is flowing with milk and honey. What is milk and honey? The good of the land. What is the good of the land? If your sins be as red as crimson, I will make them white as wool. What is that? Look at verse 25. Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. What is sprinkling clean water? Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. What is the new heart? The new heart that God will give you is he himself becoming the tithe that comes into you, that you eat and you are satisfied. With long life will he satisfy you, eternal life. Give us this day our satisfactory bread, our sufficient bread. So, verse 26, a new heart will I give you. It is relief that is a new spirit will I put within you. What is the new spirit? The good of the land. What is the good of the land? The new spirit. What is the new spirit? The Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? The spirit received by a man who believes the resurrection. Look at verse 27. I will put my spirit within you. That means I will bring the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house, will be what? The saints, that is the temple of God, who has believed the gospel. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Yes, so the land in the real sense will be the land of the believer. Are we together? Go back to Malachi 3. Let's try tying the knot around there. Malachi 3. I thought we were going to do justice to Malachi 3. But, I mean, I think we tried. Look at Malachi 3. Look at Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3, verse 10. So, bring ye. You see, that word here, ye, occurs about 7,000 times in the entire Bible. Yeah, but it was actually translated by maybe 100 times or something like that. Translators rarely gave a definite meaning. So, alternatively, we can say, bring all the tithes. Yeah, so, bring all the tithes into the house. It is something that God will do. Remember, storehouse will be what? People. Who is to bring the tithe? Verse 1. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple as the tithe. Simple. The messenger of the covenant is the Lord that shall suddenly enter the temple, yeah, as the tithe. So the bringing all the tithe is a work that God will do. Is the work of the messenger of the temple or of the covenant coming to his temple. So Habakkuk 2 verse 3. And the Lord answered and said, Habakkuk 2:3, write this vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that read it. What is the vision? That he may run that my read it. Look at the vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. We've done the teaching on that. But at the end, he shall speak. He shall not lie. Though he tarries, wait for him, because he will surely come. He will not tarry. Habakkuk was talking about the he, not an it. Verse 14 tells you, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, though it may tarry, Malachi was saying the same thing. The Lord will bring the tithe to the storehouse. So, we are to believe the words of the prophet. The prophet said it, we are to believe. We are to read and believe. Go back to Luke 24, 44. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. And Jesus said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, that is before his crucifixion, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. So, in Malachi, in Habakkuk, in Isaiah, in Genesis, Jesus is the fulfiller. He is the fulfillment. All things have been fulfilled. Yet, what does that mean? It means that some things were to be fulfilled, and they were given to somebody, so somebody had an obligation to discharge the fulfillment. Or to bring to pass the fulfillment. So, if Jesus would have read Malachi, what would he say? Bring all the tithe is concerning me. Look at Psalm 40 quickly. Psalm 40, verse 6. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. You see, that tells you again. All the offerings you can see by Moses and the people of Israel in Exodus, God did not ask them for it. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 1. We saw that in Psalm chapter 40. Moses used sacrifices and offerings to teach about the sacrifice and offering of God in Christ. So, sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. My ears as thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering as thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Could David have speaking about himself? No. Psalm 40 is about Christ. So, Jesus saw that the requirements of the scriptures were written of and to him and no one else. So, Jesus will read it and he will say, oh, that is an obligation I am to fulfill. Go back to Malachi 3:10. You see, lots of scholars, believe that, that word ye in this context sometimes has a meaning or is a word made up of Aleph and Tav. Yeah, Aleph and Tav is what you call Alpha and Omega, first and last. So in the real sense, it's more like bring ye all the tithes, yeah, into the storehouse. Really, I think we'll pay more attention to that, you know, in days to come. So Malachi was coding the priest in the real sense, teaching about Christ. Why was he coding the priest? They had departed from the ordinances that Moses established. So Malachi was prophesying about Christ and what he will accomplish. So the fulfillment will be God's action of opening the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing. What is the blessing? God will give himself as the blessing or as the gift to one who believes. So in believing the prophet, we receive God's gift who has freely given us, that is Christ. So that I will pour out a blessing is equal to what? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 2. Yeah, I will bless them that bless you. Yeah, blessings of Abraham. Never forget, the tithe was something that was to be eaten. What were the tithes? Corn, wine, oil, firstling, for those who had no inheritance to come together and eat and get satisfied. See, Moses did not speak with plainness. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3:12. He says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 13, and not like Moses, which put a veil on his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Yeah, so Moses did not use great plainness of speech. Look at verse 12 again. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not like us, Moses. So Moses did not use great plainness of speech. So we are to remove his symbols. When we remove his symbols, we see what he said. So what is he saying? Except you eat the tithe, you will not know how to fear the Lord, or you will not honor the Lord. In the real sense, believing the gospel. Yeah, hallelujah. So Jesus is the fulfillment of what you call manna. Yeah. So now look at it. Even though they gathered each man according, look at Exodus 16. If you remember that teaching on Passover, Exodus 16:15. Exodus 16:15. So look at Exodus 16:15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is bread which the Lord had given you to eat. Moses says, this is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Moses said, the Lord gave them to eat. Look at verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord has given to eat. Go to John. Go to John 32. John 6. Moses said, God gave them bread to eat. Look at John 6:32. You either change Exodus 16 or John 6. Look at John 6:32. Yeah. Then Jesus said unto them, John 6:32, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So Moses uses what? Physical bread, provision of physical bread, to teach about the provision of supernatural bread. What is that? Forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 31, John 6. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. We just read Exodus 16, where they were to eat manna and omer. Yeah, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What did Jesus say? See, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. For verse 33, for the bread of heaven or of God is he. So Moses gave them bread so that they can believe the bread of heaven. Now, even though they gathered each man according to their eating, yeah, remember we said it, we saw it in Exodus chapter 16, each man had exactly one omer of manna. So no one needed more than one. So one was complete. So Moses tells us an omer. Look at, go back to Exodus 16. Let's try another teaching on tithe. Exodus 16. We'll have a beautiful time in church on Sunday again. Exodus 16, verse 16. See it again. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man. So it is one omer for every man. One omer for every man. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tent. So it is one omer for one household. We saw that in that teaching. Yeah, we saw that in that teaching. Verse 18. And when they did meet, yeah, it with an omer, he that gathereth much had nothing over. Now look at verse 36. Moses tells you, now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah.
An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. An omer is the tenth part. So the omer that each household were to eat, what did Moses tell you in verse 36? It is actually a tenth part. What is tenth part? Tithe. What is tithe? Tenth part. Tenth part. So Moses tells you that the omer is the tithe. Are we together? So what were they to eat? Remember, Moses said that you are going to eat this thing. Eh? You are, God said you should eat it. God will give you this. Eh? What did Jesus say? Moses used that to, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. So when Moses was writing about omer, what was he writing about? He was writing about the tithe, which is actually Jesus, that is to be eaten. So figurative manna is the tithe. So the portion of the manna for each person to eat is a tithe. Look at verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. What did they say in John chapter 6 verse 31? The people who their fathers told them that they ate God's manna. Yeah, was there supernatural manna in the wilderness? Yes. What was it pointing to? The manna which is of God, the bread of God. So, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not that what it is. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord had given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. But Malachi 3. Who was Malachi speaking to in the real sense? Speaking about Christ, but speaking to chapter 2, verse 1. And now, chapter 2, verse 1, Malachi. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So the utterance is what? About Christ, but particularly to the backsliding Israel. So what's utterance saying? They were dishonoring God in the real sense. This is sin in relation to men. How were they dishonoring God? Remember, Abraham gave to honor God, but it was to men. How was what did Moses do? Moses initiated the practice of the tithing under the law as a form of honor, but for those without inheritance to have what to eat. So when he says, will a man rob God? What is the robbing? It's not like you, the robbing there is not saying that. It's not like you wake up in the morning, check your compound, your car is gone. Or you go to Dabi Park, you park your car is gone. Yeah, no, it's not that. No. Yeah, the robbing there is what? You have robbed God of the honor due to him. Now, what would that be based on? Based on the instruction of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord always. So, you know, in the real sense, the tithing in the today and time, is it an evil thing? We've seen that in 5:4:5 teachings. But the tithing was a pointer. So the priests were to bring ye the tithe so that there can be food in the storehouse. In the real sense, Christ is the one who is the high priest who brings in the tithe. So he is the high priest and he is the tithe. So he is the high priest and he is the sacrifice. Look at 1 John 2. Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2 verse 1. 1 John 2 verse 1. So Christ is the high priest and the sacrifice. Look at 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But even if any man sins, we have an advocate who is with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Look at it again. That tells you, he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 4. So Christ is the high priest and the sacrifice. Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, glory to God, who is the one that brings ye. Are we together? The great high priest we have is the one that brings himself as a tithe, so that there can be food in the storehouse, that is God's house, which is the Lord suddenly coming into the temple. Yeah, so seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all spots points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, glory to God, unto the throne of grace. So the believer has come boldly to the throne of grace. So when he said, let us now bold, therefore come boldly, remember, the writer of Hebrews was speaking to a lot of times unbelieving Jewish people. Are we together? Yeah, so we have come boldly to the throne of grace. How did we come? By believing the tithe as the sacrifice, by believing the work of resurrection. So let us therefore is a persuasive statement to those who have not come. So we have come already. We are there.
Ephesians 2, we are seated in the heavens in Christ. That's figurative for throne of grace. Yeah, so let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the real sense, we have come to the throne of grace and we have eaten the good of the land, that is what? The milk and honey of the land, that is the bread of God, that is the bread of life, that is the omer, that is the tithes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Look at 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2:9. Hallelujah, 1 Peter 2:9, 1 Peter 2:9. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Are we together? Yet that ye may show forth the praises of him who called you out. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, yet you were those without inheritance, but you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, yeah, as strangers and pilgrims, yeah, those without inheritance, now we have obtained mercy. Now we have obtained mercy. Now we have obtained mercy. Look at verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder has rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. Look at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. Look at Acts 4. Look at Acts 4. Acts 4 9. Acts 4. Acts 4. Acts 4. Acts 4 9. Acts 4 9. Acts 4 9. Acts 4 11. Yeah? Look at Acts 4 9. Look at Acts 4 9. If with this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ. No, and none of that. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. So the chief cornerstone is what? Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone in Acts chapter 4 verse 11 is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 6 and 7 is Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 118. Psalms 118. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalms 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Look at that again. Psalm 118 verse 21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and hast become my salvation. Look at verse 22. The stone which the builder refused is become the head corner of the stone. What did Peter tell you? Who did Peter tell you that is? Jesus Christ. Who did Peter tell you that is in Acts chapter 4? Jesus Christ. What did he say in verse 23 of Psalm 118? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What is the Lord's doing? The stone that was rejected has now become the tithe, that is the omer that brings satisfaction to a heart that believes. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. It is not about your car, not your house. No. Imagine, you know, in our day and time, we have people. Anyways, yeah. So this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What did he say in verse 24? This is the day which the Lord has made. What day is it? The day where the high priest will bring you the tithe into God's storehouse for there to be meat in God's house. That is the day where God, the Lord, will suddenly enter his temple. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're in that day. Yeah, when you see day, it's not talking about Monday or Sunday. Yeah, this is that day that the Lord hath made. No, it is about the resurrection. We're in that day. We're in the dispensation of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the Lord's doing. Yeah, what the Lord has done for us. Yeah, it is marvelous. Now, look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Oh, glory to God. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What's the Lord's doing? Resurrection. Yeah, our high priest has brought into the storehouse God's inheritance for the saints. Our high priest is the sacrifice that has been made available, that a man, when he believes, becomes what? A member of God's temple. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14. I know, dear saints, I know whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should what? Fear before him. What does that mean? Men should honor him. What is that thing which the Lord does? I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Yeah, forgiveness of sins is forever. Your car is not forever. Yeah, think about that. Yeah, forgiveness of sin is forever. Your car is not forever. Do people have miracles of car? Yes, you don't have to be a Christian to have a miracle of a car. Yeah, so we see that you don't give your tithe to the rich. The tithe was Moses' way of communicating God's provision of salvation. Hallelujah. Let's end in 2 Corinthians 9:7. So in the New Testament books, the word tithe was mentioned only 3 times. We've seen that severally. Yeah, 2 times by Jesus to scold hypocrites and the writer of Hebrews for an historical reference. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So the apostles and Jesus were loud on giving, but they were not loud in reference to percentage for giving. Yeah, the saint is to recognize God's love and give in response to that. Yeah, the saint doesn't give to be loved by God. The saint doesn't give to get richer. No, the saint gives as an end in itself. Yeah, yeah. See Ephesians 9 and 1 Corinthians 8:1. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church. What is the grace of God? In that in their great trial of affliction, they are bounded unto the riches of liberality. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty. So when you understand the sacrificial giving of God, you understand that if you don't give sacrificially, generously as a saint, you are living in disobedience to the scriptures. Hear what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. We'll look at this next week properly. But just see what Paul says. But this I say, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. We'll look at that on Sunday. Look at verse 7 where we are going to end. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. There is no restriction of a percentage. Yeah, can you be a saint and give 20%? Can you be a saint and give 50%? Yes, you can. But as an end in itself, yeah, you don't give your tithe for God to bless you. It is never in scripture. It is an unscriptural practice. Yeah, you don't give your tithe for God to protect you. No, you are washing God. You have made God to be a babalawo and mamalawo. Yeah, you've made God to be Shango. God is not Shango. Yeah, God is God who is love and love all by himself. James chapter 1, do not err, my fellow brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. See it again. Verse 7, every man according as he proposes. So it means that when you begin to earn money, as long as you are earning money, the first thing that comes to your mind is what? How to supply meat in God's house. In the real sense, you believed God's meat, that is the supply of Christ. But in the real sense, that is God's divine way of aligning the needs of other men to be met. Look at that. Every man according as he proposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. A lot of people give their tithe grudgingly. Pastor say. So that's why you see a lot of times when the truth of God's word is taught about tithing, people reduce their giving. It's because they never gave generously. Yeah, if you are one who listens to a teaching like this and reduce your giving, it means that all your life you've been giving into your fears, not out of love. You've been giving because they told you that, if you don't want the wrath to come, give your tithe. Pay your tithe. If you don't want your life to be tight, pay your offering. No, if you've been giving that way and you reduced your giving because of teachings like this, it simply means that what? You've always been grudging in your giving. Yeah, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been able to learn one or two things here and there.